Someday things will work out for my good. I've cried in the dark, but I understood. We don't care. The journey of life is a heavy road. Bare feet on the stone, still I carry hope. Some
It's now exactly 14 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock and you are now tuned into Social Times with Francina, and I'll be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. It's the 27th of June 2026, a beautiful, wonderful weather in the capital city, and we have so much to discuss about today. And before I get a head start with the topic discussion of today, you are more than welcome to listen to us wherever you are, within and out of the borders, via our Eagle FM app. So you just go to Play Store and download the app for free, and you are good to go to listen to any show that you want to listen to. And also we have our website, that's www.eaglefm.com.na, www.eaglefm.com.na, and you can tune in and listen to our shows, and also to the podcasts that you have missed on. You are more than welcome to come on our podcast and then enter the name of the show and the date, and you are good to go to catch up yourself with the shows that you have missed out on or you'd love to listen to over again. And we don't only have interesting topic discussions on radio, but we also have interesting stories that always come out from our village newspaper. That's the e-paper, always on Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays. There's so much interesting stories there that are always there. And also on our social media pages, you also find the e-paper there with the cover page and the link, and it will lead you to the interesting stories that you would love to read and also update yourself on what's happening within the borders and out of the borders. Now, like I said, I'll be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. If you've just tuned in, you are listening to Social Times, and I'm your host, Francina Ngidengwa, and I'll take you through until the hour of 10, and from 10 to 11, it will be Ulwazi taking over. Now, today's topic discussion that I have for you today is on gambling. So we're going to look at the responsibilities of gambling, how to be responsible on gambling, and also the addiction. You know, it's something good on the other side, also on the other side it's something bad also, you know, because there are some that get to that extent that they get addicted, you know. Everyone has their reason as to why they are gambling. Someone hopes to you know, get something out of it and then use it to make their life better. You know, some people have benefited so much in gambling that they ended up making use of that money on something that they've always wanted to do, in maybe, for example, like business. And then there's some that got so addicted and then they end up even using the money not wisely, you know. And It has led some of them into debts. It has led some of them committing suicide. It has led some of them pawning their things just to get money in exchange and use that money to go back to gambling. But then at the end of the day, sometimes you'd find that this person has lost all the things, you know, the money that he got from pawning the thing, from pawning the certain item, to and then also the item itself, they got lost to it because they have no money to pay back so they can get back their item that they have pawned. So like I said, it's not a bad thing to gamble, but you need to be careful because once you get addicted, it can harm you, you know, physically, mentally. It can cause so much damage to your life and to your loved ones, to the ones that are close to you. So, you know, gambling is also known as, you know, betting or gaming gambling. So, putting it into a term as it's the act of risking, you know, money, like I said, or something of value on an event with an uncertain outcome, you know, hoping to win a prize or more money. So like I said at the beginning, that you are trying to get something out of it, right? You're not sure. You are risking. You are taking a risk, hoping that you'd win a certain amount or you win something just for you to you know, to get whatever you want to do with it. Or you know, even has their motive, right? So there's now so many kind of gamblings. There's the casino games, such as the blackjack or slot machines, and then we have also sports betting. We have poker when played for money. We have lottery and scratch cards, and we have horse or dog racing bets also, and also online gambling platforms. So, you know, you'd find some people gamble occasionally for entertainment. So sometimes it's not only about you leaving your house or your home saying that I'm going to gamble, because sometimes it's entertainment. You are there all relaxed having your drink, and then you decide that let me, you know, do something just to keep to entertain yourself. So but it's also it also carries risks. So because gambling outcomes are generally based on a chance, you know, a mix of a chance and a skill, so it's possible to lose more then you win over time. And you know, gambling can also become addictive for some people, leading to financial, emotional, and relationship problems. Now, what are the importance of gambling? You know, although gambling has risk, like I said, it has a risk. So when you are doing this, you are risking whatever you can, whatever amount you're going to spend in gambling, you are ready. So you have to be ready. You have to prepare your heart. Because, you know, obviously when you play and then you win, you continue because you have won, right? So you want more and more and more. But you also have to be responsible on how you do it. So, you know, like I said, although gambling has risk, when it is legal and practiced responsibly, it can have, you know, some benefits like entertainment. You know, many people gamble as a form of recreation and enjoyment. You just there to enjoy, and you know, you even find some playing cards. You know, if you go in the rural areas and all that, and also urban areas, you would find that people playing cards and they have money aside. You know, so if whoever wins, you get the money. There's so many ways to play. So gambling is not only about betting, casino games. There's so many games that you'd find people playing with money. So as long as money is involved there, then it's a gambling. So also it also creates employment opportunities, you know, like casinos, betting companies and other lotteries create jobs for dealers, cashiers, security staff, customers, workers and others. So there's so many employment opportunity also that side, because if we didn't have all this in our countries, then we wouldn't find some employed, right? Because now this gambling is introduced, and then it creates employment in different departments, because obviously when you have, let me say for example, a betting, it involves a cashier, security officer, customer service workers. It involves so many people because it involves money, right? So it needs to be really well taken care of and controlled. And another thing also, it creates government revenue. So you, taxes and licensing fees from legal gambling can contribute to public services such as education, healthcare, and infrastructure, and also tourism. You know, casinos, let me use casinos as an example. Casinos and other gambling venues can also attract visitors, boosting local business such as hotels, restaurants, and transport services. So when we have these casinos in our country, obviously it attracts foreigners, right? And when foreigners comes into our country to attend to this, most of the time you'd find it links to, you know, hotels, restaurants, and as they are there, they also, you know, book for their rooms and all that. So it brings in money and boosts now our local businesses, like I said, and also support for charitable causes like some lotteries, you know, raffles and fundraising events use gambling activities to raise money for charities and community projects. So another thing also, it also creates the benefit also having gambling. It also brings economic growth, you know, pardon me, sorry about that. The gambling industry can contribute to business activities and economic development through investment and consumer spending. And also, we also have social interaction. You know, some gambling activities such as bingo or poker games provide opportunities for people to socialize. You know, if you go everywhere now, even the northern areas, everywhere, it's bettings. Like in the street, you'd find 3 to 4 bettings, you know. So this also now, betting is obviously part of gambling and all that. It's exactly 24 minutes past the hour of 8. If you have just tuned in, you are listening to Social Times with Francina Ngidengwa, and I'll be with you until the hour of 11 o'clock. Pardon me, 10 o'clock. And like I said also, we have some audios from my colleague that has interviewed one of our one of the gambling addicts. So we're gonna take a listen to this. Ezekiel Ludwig Kondobolo, a recovering gambling addict, he spoke to Eagle FM's journalist, which is Dwight Links, on the sidelines of recent responsible gambling at a recent conference. So Kondobolo was attending as someone who wanted what methods and mechanisms exist to help gamblers find assistance with their addictions. So the conference itself identified that gambling and betting developments were advancing quicker than national legislation regarding empowering mechanisms or organizations to assist with the impacts of excessive gambling on the consumers. So you're going to take a listen to this recovering gambling addict, who is Ezekiel Ludwig Kondobolo.
Thank you, Mr. Kondobolo, for taking the time to talk to us and our listeners. And specifically, if we look at on the sidelines here of this particular responsible gambling conference, from what we've now heard in the first morning session, and just for you who has been a basically someone that suffered from a condition that comes from a gambling perspective, specifically, how do you feel about some of the messaging, some of the discussions, and some of the insights that are taking place in terms of what you can see possibly happening in Namibia in terms of awareness and sensitizing, and also putting services close to sufferers?
I would say, if you accept to know that gambling was not a profitable thing for you, you should get away from there immediately. Because if it was a profitable thing, which is profitable, then I would say continue. But In the society of us, I can see it's not a profitable thing what we are doing.
Mm.
We are neglecting our families. We are neglecting our children.
Mm.
That's the reason why I would say, let's withdraw ourselves. And the reason why is actually some of us are not gambling because we are getting something from there.
Mm.
But we are gambling because of a problem I'm having.
Mm.
Like as you use alcohol to hide behind that problem what you have.
Mm.
That's the reason why some of us are gambling.
Mm. So it's an issue that feeds the particular, if I can call it, activity.
That's exactly.
Mm. And please continue.
And that's the reason if you come to your sense and admit this is the wrong thing what I'm doing,
mm.
you have to confess and try and get away from there.
Mm-hmm.
There will be triggers which will take you there,
mm-hmm.
but most of them think of your past.
Mm-hmm.
What did it do wrongs to you?
Mm-hmm.
And is it still good to continue with it or not?
Yeah.
Therefore, I would say, with these sessions what we have this morning,
mm-hmm.
I would recommend that we who are here should get other people who are still suffering in this thing
mm.
and open their minds also so that they can confess or come up to the sense
mm.
that this is not a thing which I will continue with it.
Mm.
And if there is a problem what you have which is bothering you, speak it out
mm.
so that you can get help. Don't hide behind these things. Alcohol and gambling mm. will never solve our problems. But if I confess and admit this is a wrong thing,
mm.
you can get help. And like in these things what I'm sitting now,
mm.
I think there is help for me.
And even if just to latch on that part, if you look at the 36 years that we did not know of.
Yes.
Because from what we now currently heard from some of the panelists was, it seems like we did not even measure, like you would measure how many polio patients there are, or how many, let's say, people impacted by cholera.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't look at the psychological illnesses that exist.
Exactly.
What does that speak to you, and specifically, what would you like to see in terms of treatment? Assistance, specifically in the scenario.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
And the way forward when those particular installations take place?
I would say this is part of the treatment also of this workshop.
Mm.
It's part of treatment. It's for me to accept the medicine
mm.
or the advice which I'm getting now from here
mm.
and use it to heal myself
mm.
and after I'm healed to help others also how they can use this medicine I have used to come rid of this
mm.
Problem I'm having
mm.
of sickness I'm
mm.
yeah.
And just lastly, one of the last contributions that came now from the South African Namibian panel discussion,
yeah.
which the lady, Madam Tumelo,
yes.
highlighted, communication and advertising of messages to help sufferers. Is that the first, in your experience, do you think that is something when you reflect back that we should have known? Like you can tell people, listen, there's a helpline here. If you feel you are a sufferer or you feel you are someone that probably has an addiction, call this line and get some sort of support function. Yeah,
definitely. What is the other program which would?
The people from Help Lifeline Childline.
Yeah, Lifeline Childline.
Yeah,
it's very good also, but they had never actually helped really.
Mm.
They had always refer you after they have had your problem.
Mm.
They have referred you, but this one, the South African one, I would recommend it so that we could also install or have the same system what they're having there.
It's in the sector.
Yeah.
The sector also contributes to its funding.
Definitely.
And it's there for the customers. Of the sector.
Okay. Yeah.
And
I would really appreciate if we could have one here in Namibia also.
Now, when we, just in our conclusion, specifically in our discussion, Mr. Kondombolo, if we look at the way forward, do you feel that there is something promising, meaning something positive to stem from this? Or would we first have to wait for this particular conversations to end to see the dust settle and then see what next moves are made by the Ministry of Environment and by the related operators?
Yes. I think we should wait and see until tomorrow.
Mm.
And tomorrow will tell us what is the way forward.
Mm. Obviously, with tomorrow, more discussions take place. Yeah. Yeah.
I would really appreciate it that way.
100%. Thank you, Mr. Kondombolo.
Thank you very much also. I hope the community outside will hear this and start working on their healing.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. And that was the interview on, apparently, with Ezekiel Ludwig Kondombolo, a recovering gambling addict who spoke to one of our Eagle FM journalists, that's Dwight Links, on the sidelines of the recent Responsible Gambling Conference. And like I said, Kondombolo was attending as someone who wanted what methods and mechanisms exist to help gamblers find assistance with their addictions. Now, the conference itself identified that the gambling and betting developments were advancing quicker than national legislation regarding empowering mechanisms or organizations to assist with the impacts of excessive gambling on the consumers. It's exactly 34 minutes past the hour of 8, and if you have just tuned in, you are listening to Social Times, and I'm your host, Francine Ngidengwa, and I'll be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. Now, before we proceed with our discussion, we are going for a musical break. We'll be right back. Do stay tuned. Do not leave that frequency.
mabaya, and that's for no fire. Get down, get down, get down. Why be unknowing the soul?
Why be unknowing the soul?
I've listened to the cold now, it's in the chalice old now, and I've been doing the mabaya, and that's for no fire. Get down, get down, get down. Why be unknowing the soul?
Why be unknowing the soul?
Baby, I should've known that you want.
15 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. If you have just tuned in, you are listening to Social Times, and I'm your host, Francine Ngidengwa, and I'll be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. Gambling is our topic of discussion today. The responsibility of gambling, how to be responsible when gambling, the importance of gambling, and also addiction. You know, like I said at the beginning, you would find that most people got addicted or are addicted to gambling. And I said it's not a bad thing to gamble, but you also have to be responsible when gambling. You know, you have to know, you have to have boundaries, you know, when it comes to gambling. And before we went for that musical break, I spoke about the importance of gambling, and then we also took a listen to an audio on someone that's recovering from gambling addiction. Now, you know, a gambling addiction is also known as a problem gambling or gambling disorder. You know, it's a condition in which a person cannot control the urge to gamble. You know, even if when it causes financial, social, emotional, or personal harm. So now you won't really notice that you are addicted, because you just feel like you are trying to you are waiting for your luck. You are trying until it's your day that you win that amount of money. So you just find it as no, you are fine. As the little that you always win, you continue because you want more and more and more. But then sometimes you didn't notice that there's an addiction here. So you'd find certain characteristics in of a gambling addictor, like gambling more often or for longer than intended. You know, you'd find also as much as they lose, they continue to gamble even after losing money. You know, you'd find someone they lost so much money. let me say, for example, you spend a whole 5,000 just on gambling, but still you still continue to play, as much as you know that I've run out of money, I've spent so much, and you won't even notice that you have gone so you have spent so much money, you have used so much money on this, because you are busy trying to get your luck right. And at the end of the day, when you are now totally out of money, you have run out of money, and then you sit down and you think of how much you have spent, it's when you realize that you have spent so much into just trying your luck. And then also another thing is that you'd find spending more money on gambling than one can afford. That's also one of the characters of gambling addiction. And also neglecting work, school, or family responsibilities. You'd even find someone, let me say you just start off as, by lunchtime. It's your lunchtime, so you decide to quickly go do your gambling. And then it's time to go back to work. You go back to work. Day one, you obviously go back because now lunch is over, you immediately go back. The next time, you see that I'll try to be 5 minutes late. You do the same thing. The next time, 10. The next time, 15. Until it's 30 minutes late. And then you always try to think of, okay, I'll just go lie. Use this as an excuse as to, no, I'm running late because of A, B, and C. You know? And then the next thing you see, you get a warning, and then until you end up losing your job, and you won't notice it because you are now addicted, and it just starts slowly, like slowly, instead of trying to use the time wisely, you decide to take extra 10 minutes because you have that thought of, okay, maybe what if I, you just try to picture everything, if I leave right now, what if my chance of winning was, it's going to happen now. So you try again until every time when you're going to work, you'll be like 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, 15 minutes late, 30 minutes late, until it's an hour, until you stop going to work. And same thing as also school. You find some kids banking classes, you'd find someone missing out on a lesson or on a lecture because they have to go bet this because they need that money, and then or they have to go gamble because they need that money for a certain thing. And then it first starts with a small problem, or maybe it first starts with, like, you have won, you just tried your luck, that it was your lucky day, you won $1,000. Let me say, for example, you are a school going learner or student, and now you need money for something, and then you decide that let me try my luck here. You do your gambling in whatever way, maybe you bet or you went to a casino, I don't know whichever type of gambling that you have chosen, and then you won that day. It was a lucky day, you won $1,000. So now, because you know, whenever you come, you face a problem, and you decide that, no, I'm going to go back again there. And not even when you are facing a problem, but because now you have realized that you want fast money, and you know that every time you go there, you have to win something, you start doing it because you know that, no, every day I'm getting something. And then one day you get disappointed, it was not your lucky day, and then you end up not getting something, winning something. And then maybe for a week or 2 weeks, and then you get so much frustrated, you are stressed and all that because you ain't winning anymore, because you expect to be winning every time or getting something every time, because the first day you started with your gambling is the day you won a certain amount of money or you got a certain amount of money through the certain gambling. Then also you will find that you stop doing the family responsibilities, because now the certain things that you used to do, you stop cutting, you cut them off from your budget because you have, like, no, I need this money to go do this can we, I will come back to it. Let me say, for example, you have to pay rent, and maybe you pay every fifth day of the month, and then you decide that, no, I will use this money to go a gamble, because I know for sure I can double this money. Let me say, for example, your rent is 2.5, and then you, like, I can get either 5,000 or more in this, and then you go take the risk, you go do it. Like I said, gambling, it's a risk-taking thing, right? So you go you despair, you go do this certain thing, and then you're just, even the money for buying food, if you are a student, the money for renting, the taxi money, whatever money that you had that has something to go do, you have to go pay your bills or whatever expense that you have to sort out, and you decide that, no, today, let me take this risk because I know for sure that my luck will come from this. So you decide to do that, you spend all the money. You are left with nothing, and you are all stressed up. You don't know what to do. You haven't paid rent. You have attorney fees. You have, you don't have taxi money to go to school. You don't have money to buy your cosmetics, whatever that you had to do with that money. Then another thing also, you'd find someone getting to the extent of borrowing or stealing money to gamble. You find now this person going in debts. Going to borrow money, taking a loan, not because they need that loan for something, an emergency, but they are using this money to go gamble because they need money, extra money, or more money. But then, because you believe that if you use this money to go gamble, you get more out of it. Now, you use this money, you went to go borrow money, and then now you spend, you go do your gambling, you get disappointed. Now you have brought yourself more trouble because obviously this money is coming with an interest, right? With a 30% interest, I don't know, depend whatever interest it that's charged. And then you have nowhere to get this money. And you had the hope of once you play this, you win this amount, you will pay back the money. And another thing also that you'd find someone also stealing money. Maybe a school going, a learner, a student, even a grown up. You end up stealing your grandmother's money or your partner's money or someone that you are staying with in the house or anywhere. Because you want to go do your gambling. So now you won't notice this, you know. You just feel like, I'm borrowing the money, I'm going to pay it back, so it won't be a problem. Or you'll be like, month end, I'll pay back this money that I borrowed for gambling. And also another thing, you'd find, someone feeling restless, anxious, or irritable when trying to stop gambling. And also, lying to family and friends about gambling activities. You know, gambling has led so many people into debt, has led so many people making bad decisions, wrong decisions, committing suicide, losing jobs, cutting off families, isolating themselves. So many things has led many people to make wrong decisions. And like I said, gambling is not a wrong thing, but you just have to do it responsibly. You know, you have to be careful. You have to make sure that it's not a habit of, it's your daily task to be doing every day. No, you can be doing it every day, but try to limit. Just as the same way you budget on, I'm only going to spend $200 on this. Budget also your gambling if you want to include it in your budgeting. Include it in, but make sure that the moment this 200 is done, then there is no continuing of going to borrow way and taking from your savings just to go gamble again. So if you find yourself doing something, that means you are addicted. Another thing also, like I said, lying to family and friends about gambling activities. You know, sometimes they'll try to sit you down, talk to you, but yet you lie to them that you are done, you have cut off yourself from gambling, or you are no more addicted. Although your family is trying to help you, but you see yourself as your family is jealous of you, or they don't want you to use your own money. So you know, you find some people answering like, "No, it's my own money that I worked hard for. Who are you to stop me from this and that and that?" And another thing also, it repeated unsuccessful attempts to reduce or stop gambling. So these are the certain characteristics that of gambling addiction. We also have now the causes. Now, what causes one to be addicted? So one thing is the desire to win money. You know, you still have so much desire to win money, and you know, most people are facing problems, and most of the problems involve finance. So because you're going through financial hardship and all sorts of things, so you decide that what will lead you to also do this is because you need that money. You end up going to do the gambling because you want to win money. Another thing also, the stress, anxiety, or depression. You know, when you're all stressed, anxious, and depressed, it will lead you to want to gamble. And another thing also, the peer pressure. You see other friends of yours, your friend teaches you that, no, there's a way to get money. And then you go do your gambling. You do the gambling, you get addicted. Every day you just, even wherever you are, you just focus thinking of today, how much are you going to get? You know, another thing also, the easy access to gambling opportunities, when you are bored, you know, you have nothing to do, and then you decide, let me use this $5, let me do my gambling. And then also another thing, also the influence of advertising and promotions and family or social environment. Now, before we proceed again to with our topic discussion, we are taking a listen again to the responsibilities of gambling.
Good morning, colleagues. As Mr. Baron McBride has indicated, my name is Alphonse Matlala. I'm going to be pretty much talking more about the face of this gambling disorder that we are trying to also mitigate, because we want to have an environment which is without gambling disorder, an environment which is of responsible gambling. And to start with, I'd like to, quickly just talk about what is this gambling disorder, so that we can have also, a responsible gambling environment, which is a shared, responsibility between stakeholders, regulators, and everyone involved in this, industry. Right, what is this gambling disorder? And according to the DSM-5, right, so the DSM-5 is the Diagnostic Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders, as established by the American Psychiatric Association. And so, for one to, to say they are diagnosed with this gambling disorder, they must have four of the symptoms that I'm going to talk about on the next slide. So four or more of them, they must have them, and within a minimum period of 12 months. So a psychologist or a psychiatrist will then, diagnose you of these symptoms if you are having this gambling disorder. Now, what does it look like? So for somebody who's having this gambling disorder or a gambling problem, would be needing to gamble with increasing amount of money. You see that, and in as much as, you want to stop, you are unable to stop by yourself. And that is the second, sign. So another symptom that you would be having, feeling restless or irritable when you're trying to stop as well. Repeated unsuccessful, attempts to cut back or to stop or to take a break from gambling. You're also constantly thinking about gambling. So even when you are at work, even when you are at home, you are constantly thinking about it. So you are preoccupied with thoughts of gambling. And then again, you are also chasing the losses. You try by all means, to win back the money that you would have lost. And so that is why we see some people, they would go back and try to, win back the money. One of the other signs or symptoms that you will see is that you hide or you lie about your gambling. And so you also would go to the extent of also just borrowing money so that you can cover up your gambling. Now, all of these signs, they've got an impact. And then there are also just, three levels of severity. So if you have got like 4 or 5, you would consider to have a mild gambling disorder. Of course, within, a 12-month period. So, but these signs and symptoms, they must have been recurrent, persistent, over a 12-month period, right? And then that is the first level, 4 or 5 of the symptoms. And then again, if there are 6, 7, then that is moderate. And obviously, if they are 8, 9, then that is, you know, severe, you know, gambling disorder. And now these have got an impact, not only on yourself as somebody who's gambling, but also on your family and on your community as well. Because obviously, if you are a family man or a family, you know, a person, you are a wife, you end up taking, you know, the money that you're supposed to, you know, pay school fees with, buy grocery with. So this, at the end of the day, has got a negative impact on your finances as well, on the, you know, the finances of the family, because then now household, you know, things don't get to be, you know, taken care of because you have taken money. So this has got a great impact on you and your family as well, including those who are dependent on you. It also just goes to the extent of, you know, causing some emotional stress between yourself. There's also just conflicts that we see. But we also see that, you know, individuals who are affected by this gambling disorder, they go through, you know, divorce, separations as well. Because, you know, you would at some point be hiding these issues, lying about gambling, not being trustworthy. But also, you know, financial problems, which then cause, you know, the conflict between yourself and your partner and, you know, your family members as well. But the impact goes also to the extent of, you know, impacting your workplace. And that is why, you know, a shared collaboration between everyone, and the reason why everyone should be concerned, and the reason why this should be the responsibility of everyone, is important that we discuss here today. It is because it doesn't impact the individual who does, you know, the gambling itself, himself or herself. It is also because it impacts you at the workplace, because you also see reduced productivity and performance at work. And so if you are constantly, you know, thinking about gambling, if you're constantly stressed about, you know, your finances because of gambling, who you owe, because you also go to the extent of borrowing money from the loan sharks, then they lend you with maybe a 50% interest. So that it stresses your finances, but it also, you know, emotionally gets stressed, because at the end of the month, you need to then pay them back. And if you don't have the money to then pay them back, it goes to the extent of you gambling more with the hope of doing what? With the hope of then, you know, winning the money so that you can pay back, you know, the money that you would have borrowed. Right, so all these stresses, the occupations that you are having with gambling, then impacts you even at work. You see that your performance goes down. Increased absenteeism also due to perhaps maybe you would have, you know, been gambling the whole night. And more especially nowadays, we see that people also do gamble online. And so because of this easy accessibility of the online betting and gambling, you then, you know, end up, you know, gambling the whole night to a point whereby you even, you know, get absent from work. But also because some people, they go to the extent of borrowing from their co-workers or their colleagues. And because they are owing them and unable to then pay them back, they have got that shame and be unable to then also go to work. It can be many other things, many other reasons why people then get absent from work. But you can also see how it impacts the worker who is having this gambling problem gambling. But also that also contributes to, you know, higher workplace stress levels and poor concentration at work. And so this issue of problematic gambling goes to the extent of even impacting on health and government resources, because an individual who is, you know, having a gambling problem, as the minister was talking here regarding the fact that it also leads to other psychological illnesses like your depression, stress, anxiety as well. And because of, you know, these other, you know, psychological illnesses, when they coexist, we also term that as comorbidity. Because of they coexist, you also at some point may develop, you know, suicidal ideations. And because of that, you then now need to go to a rehabilitation. And we all know that how expensive the rehab is, even for those who are having, you know, substance abuse or substance disorders. And now this, you know, impacts on, you know, the government resources, also social services resources, whereby you also now need to then refer these individuals for counseling, right? And so it is very important that responsible gambling is everyone's business, so that we prevent, because prevention is better than cure. So it is not only, you know, a one-man show. It is not only a responsibility of one person, but it is, you know, a really shared responsibility. So the social benefits of responsible gambling, you know, is that, you know, gambling in itself, it remains an entertainment. And that is what you want to see in our government. That is what you want to see in our environment, that we're having a responsible gambling environment where people or individuals are social gamblers and they don't become problem gamblers or individuals who are addicted to gambling. So the other social, you know, benefit of responsible gambling is that there is, you know, a better financial management, because financial literacy is very important, not only for the individual, but for the household, for the community and everyone. Also, the benefit is that there is a reduced gambling-related harm, improved family and community well-being, and also a stronger consumer protection and a safer, you know, gambling environment. So each and every one of us has a role to play. So the individual, the families, the communities, the government, and everyone has a responsibility to hold each one of us more accountable for responsible gambling. So it is very important that, you know, we take care of the individuals, we take care of the environment, of the industry itself, because it is very important. And Mr. Bevan here will also just continue talking about, you know, how you know, responsible gambling is good for business and for business practices.
And that's what we have from the recent conference that identified that gambling and betting developments were advancing quicker than the national legislation regarding empowering mechanism or organizations to assist with the impacts of excessive gambling on the consumers. Now, moving on again to the next discussion.
I myself am within the training and prevention department, which means that I deal a lot more with operators, industry employees, whereby we try to provide education on the benefits of responsible gambling. And a question I often get asked by my operators, especially from managers, is if somebody is addicted to the product that I offer, isn't that good for me? As a business operator, if someone is addicted to the service that I provide, doesn't that mean I make more money? And it's a fair question that many people would ask. And our stance from the foundation is that no, it is not good for business. It's not good for the sustainability of our industry. It's not good for the reputation of our industry. So for too long, many of our responsible gambling initiatives have only been seen as compliance requirements. It's something that operators almost feel that they are forced to engage in, not that they benefit from. And our response is that no. Responsible gambling is a tool for business sustainability and, more importantly, for revenue stabilization. It is there to make our industry a bit less turbulent. So we're hoping through our engagement and discussion that we can shift the narrative, that we can understand that this is a good business practice, not just a social responsibility. And in doing so, I'd like for us to look at how we can see our customers through a lens of a subscription service as opposed to that of a extraction service. So many betting markets overly rely on a small subsection of high intensity customers, whereby we think we get the majority of our profits from them. While it may be short-term profitable to have a small group of high-intensity players, we risk customer burnout. This disadvantages not only our customers, but also us. Our customers are less satisfied with the product that they are receiving. They are more skeptical of our services, because they will then be equating it with the customer burnout or the extraction model. So when we're talking about customer burnout, we're also referring to volatility and dependency risk. It's not a sustainable customer that we can rely on for the next 10 years. So it's not sustainable over time. They tend to be erratic and prone to escalation and disruption. And when we speak about disruption, my colleague Alpheus has already touched on many of the disrupting factors that we experience. A customer who's experiencing prolonged gambling addiction, something is going to stop that customer from continuing to gamble. He may go bankrupt. He may choose to go for self-exclusion. He may be depressed, or in the most extreme cases, which we experience quite often, they may engage in suicidality, all surrounding their gambling addiction. So not only is that bad for our reputation as an operator or for our service to the customer, it means that we are losing that customer because the addiction is not sustainable. But when we refer to it as a subscription model, it's a sustainability-orientated model. We're looking at the customer as a long-term asset, not a short-term source of extraction. We also know that the majority of the customers engaging with our products are low to moderate risk players, social gamblers, customers who engage for the entertainment value of gambling, not for the disorder requirement of a gambling addiction. So with the majority of gambling participation coming from low to moderate risk individuals, with relatively stable behavior patterns, this is how we can maintain that sustainability. We want to be able to predict customer interaction, not be surprised by it. So through this, we can conclude that the responsible gambling model of punter engagement gives us the greatest profitability protections. It may not be as explosive in the short term, but it's more reliable in the long term. Allows for a more sustainable business model. Now, do our responsible gambling tools reduce revenue? Do they block our participation? They do not reduce revenue, but they deter excessive or risky play. So, for example, a voluntary limit setting, whether online or in person. We try to emphasize the fact that setting a personal limit is a show of self-control. Lets our customers know that they are in control of their gambling behavior, not the other way around. More importantly, educational and behavioral prompts improve this adherence to these self-imposed limits. And from an educational perspective, colleagues, I don't want us to only think of education as something applying to public awareness or public education. One of the greatest ways to get your responsible gambling messages out there is through your employees, gambling industry training. We know, and this is important for our operators, that gambling employees are the ones who are most at risk of a gambling problem, because they are the ones who are most exposed to the gambling environment. So even if they are working at a casino, they are not the ones gambling. They are still being exposed to that casino environment. And it affects them. It affects their own gambling behaviors. So through industry training, industry responsible gambling empowerment. You can make sure that not only do your own employees protect themselves from a gambling problem, but they can also share the message. They can take it to their families, they can take it to their communities, and they can share the information that you have empowered them with. So please, as much as is possible, let us engage in industry awareness, industry training. It can only assist. To conclude, concentrating our revenue in only high-risk players increases our fragility, makes us more at risk. Moderate players, social gamblers, they drive long-term value. They give us industry predictability. We want to stabilize that behavior without eliminating their engagement. And from brand awareness point of view, we want trust with our customers, from our customers. Engagement and loyalty. A positive experience with our gambling services. Retention, which is the primary driver of lifetime value, and it is not a trade-off against profitability. It is a strategy to sustain it. That is the message we are trying to emphasize through our engagement this morning.
All right, now it's exactly 24 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock. And you are still listening to Social Times with Francine Nangidengwa, and I'll be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. So we have exactly 36 minutes until we hand over the mic to the next program. Now, before we continue again, we are going for another short musical break. We'll be right back. Do stay tuned. Do not leave the frequency.
Yeah. Sawena, Sandra Sawena, Scotta Magoo, Scotta Magoo, Scama, hey, Salavo,
Sabaluto Kobu konuba Umveli ngangi
Tell me, oh, you're
Heal my heart and touch my soul. Velencha weluva, Lord. Wangi tandang en nanto. Gelusia me upila. Gelusia linam. Utande vam dale. Lubanzi lu julile. Fisu kritin suzokila nawe. Itembalam dale. Liopele la kube. Don't get my sweet daughter. Send her some eh. Oh, some my love. Oh, some my love. Bumble rame. Oh, some my love. Oh, some my love. Send her some eh. Oh, some my love. Oh, some my love. Bumble rame. Oh, some my love. Oh, some my love. Sing humba ma kilometer minno. Sing humba ma kilometer minno. Efsika bengisula ngifuna wena phela wena imfuduma lo yami yemnyo imizwa yami yakhuluma masibukana ivelithi dalisondela ngithi manga ufika empilweni yami langa lisahwalala buka manje sekuyakanya kuyaqhakaza mamele inhliziyo yami darling ngoba nginawo amaningi lalela inhliziyo yami darling ngoba nginawo amaningi yanginawo amaningi nje anginawo amaningi. My sweet darling, send her some eh. Oh, some my love. Oh, some my love. Bumble rame. Oh, some my love. Oh, some my love. Send her some eh. Oh, some my love. Oh, some my love. Bumble rame. Oh, some my love. Oh, some my love. Send her some eh. Oh, some my love. Oh, some my love. Bumble rame. Pose my love, pose my love. Send her some eh. Pose my love, pose my love. Bumble rame. Pose my love, pose my love.
Minutes past the hour of 9, we have exactly 22 minutes until we hand over the mic to our next presenter. And if you've just tuned in, you are listening to Social Times, and I'm your host, Francine Ngidengwa, and I'll be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock. Gambling is our topic discussion for today, the responsibilities, the addiction, and everything that has to do around with gambling. You can call us in studio on 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. Share with us your views and opinion on today's topic discussion, which is on gambling. And now, moving on to our next point, is that what harm can gambling do to you? Like I said at the beginning, I'm not against gambling. It's not a bad thing. You just need to control yourself. You just need to be responsible when gambling. Now, most people can gamble without incident. You know, loss of money or financial harm is the gambling harm that first comes to mind when we think about the risks associated with gambling. Which is true, you know. You'd find that once we think of gambling, the first thing that comes to mind is the risks that comes along with gambling. But yet, as the lower risk gambling guidelines, there are other potential types of harm, you know, that can affect those who gamble. So these harms are more likely to affect those who spend more, gamble more often, or have other characteristics that put them at greater risk of gambling harms. Now, you know, people who gamble can be at risk of financial harms. That's one of it. When I say now financial harms, it can be erosion of savings and filing for bankruptcy. And also another thing, also relationship conflicts. You know, you'd find someone that gambles neglecting of relationship with their significant other, neglect of relationships with children, extended family and friends, and also social isolation. Now you'd find that this person is now, most of them, the first thing they do is just wake up, leave the house, not even to say good morning or anything, straight to the gambling place, and they wait until it's open. They'll be there waiting for it to open, you know, and they'll be there the whole day until it's closed, and then they come back home, or they'll even go look for another place that's still open, so they continue gambling. But you left the house in the morning, no good morning, not even finding out how everyone is. What if you have lost one of your loved ones? What if one of your loved ones are sick? So you'd find now one in such a relationship conflict, and now this would also make the other, the significant other, or the children, or the extended family and friends, you know, distance themselves from this person. Now, you won't even notice it, because you'll be like, they don't know what they are doing. You don't care about them because you are busy focusing on trying to get money and once on note. So you are busy on that. Another thing, also the emotional or psychological distress. So you'd find feelings of guilt, loneliness and isolation, disordered cognition and suicidal behaviors. Now, because you have lost everything, you have lost maybe your car or your house, or just something that you have given up or exchanged for money just to continue gambling. When then once you notice that you've lost everything of this, now you feel all lonely and isolated. You feel like no one wants you, no one cares about you. But the people were there caring for you. But because you failed to listen to what they're trying to advise you on, you felt like they don't understand, or they are jealous, or they don't want you to make money, and then the problem is you, so you won't listen to them and you stick to what you see it's best for you or for yourself. So now you are here all guilty, all lonely. You don't know what to do, you don't know where to start, you don't know who to start with, because everyone has distanced themselves from you. And then also the suicidal behaviors. Now you think of trying to commit suicide because you have nothing left with you. Your loved ones have left you. You lost your house, you lost your car, whatever you have lost. Now you're all alone. You will find yourself on the streets. Everyone that you thought of that you can run to for help, you have cut them out of your life, have cut ties with them because they were trying to advise you and you didn't want to listen. But now because you are trying to get back to sense, you have nothing left. You lost your job also. This is also one of the things, because now you have been, at lunchtime, it is like I said at the beginning, you'd find yourself going for lunch, you go do your gambling, and at the end of the day, you start taking five minutes from your, after your lunch, you add 5 minutes, and then you say that you come up and excuses why you are late to come in from lunch, and then the next thing you go find yourself, it's an hour, the next thing you are trying to put sick leave, you find someone going to an extent of putting sick leave, just go gamble. And then from there, from the sick leave, the next thing you see, you don't want to even wake up. You are being late because you're just thinking of going to do the gambling. You end up losing your job. So you have lost your job. You have lost your loved ones. You have, now when I say the loved ones, if you are married or not married, your significant other, you've lost them, your kids, your extended family, whoever that was close to you, the job, the house, the car, whatever you had, you have lost it. Now you are back to square one like you are a whole small child. Now you are there wandering around the streets, you don't know where to get the help. So you think of ending your life. that's the only solution, because you have nothing left and you are ashamed. You don't know what to do. You don't know what's the next step and what's the way forward with your life, because you have nothing left to do. Eagle FM, good morning.
Yes, good morning, madam.
Good morning, Uncle Buana. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Sorry for interrupting, because I think we are going very soon.
Yes, because our time has now changed.
Oh, yeah, I
now start from 8 to 10 because we have a new program that has started last week, Saturday. It starts from 10 to 11, so now my show will be from 8 to 10.
Why sufficient time? Thank you very much. You see, I listen to you and you're giving us very good music.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it.
All right,
I enjoyed them actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you see, what you are discussing with your guest very important and crucial thing. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But because it become a habitual kind of behaviors.
Mm.
And most of us, we do that sometimes unknowingly, because it's a gambling thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment you get into those kind of things, there are legal games that people play.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, there is people are calling for strict measures.
Mm-hmm.
To curb those addictions and gamblings and all the things.
Mm.
Because many a times, those behaviors, they also lead to violence, especially gender-based violence.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they see that homes are broken and families are destroyed.
Mm.
And I have heard many example of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So where maybe a husband or a boyfriend, you know, this kind of thing, because this is a kind of financial planning.
Mm.
And it's just a way of course, managing these things, but the consequences, people have, you know, you go to those gambling houses,
mm-hmm.
and there's no regulation there. Your money, your income, and what.
Yes.
Before you know what is happening, the whole salary is gone.
Mm.
The whole that grant is gone.
Until you even go to the extent of just also going for a cash loan just to get more.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
So at least those things. The other thing is that even the cash loan, of course, they can do assist people
mm-hmm.
in terms of because of the banks. Requirements and all these things,
mm-hmm.
perhaps it's also another problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because our banks are very strict to assist those people with small income earning.
Mm-hmm.
For you to get along there, it's very difficult. So it's good that the government has come up with a study to see the effect, the impact of cash loan, all those debts, that are really, especially even though they are focusing on the civil servant.
Mm.
But not only the civil servant, everybody is affected.
Mm-hmm.
So those who are on their retirement, those who are on the everywhere. So, but I thank you very much. Keep on giving that university lead to mental problems
mm-hmm.
and the insights and all this conflict.
All right.
Thank you very much. Huh?
Thank you very much, Uncle Buana. Have a lovely weekend.
God bless the same to you.
All right. You can call us on 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. Share with us your views and opinion on today's topic discussion. That's gambling, the addictions, the responsibilities, and so forth. So I was talking about the what harm can gambling bring to you, and health issues is also one of the things that lead to gambling. You find that your reduced levels of self-care. You'd find one is not focusing on the health, because now you are focused on gambling. You have maybe, for example, you have an appointment with your doctor. You have a follow-up that you have to go to, but you say that you'll postpone it to tomorrow. No, or you think like, I'll go for the next follow-up. I don't even know how would you go for the next follow-up, because you need another date for you to go to the next follow-up. So let me say, for example, if your follow-ups are always on Tuesdays or Thursdays, you tell it, I'll go the next week Thursday. It comes the next week Thursday, you keep on missing. And even you forgetting also your, if you are on medication, you end up forgetting taking those medication because you leave home early, right? You leave the house early, and then after you have left the house so early in the morning, the time that you take your medication, you end up missing out the time because you are focused on your gambling, forgetting that you have at 8 a.m. you have to take certain medications, and at 6 p.m. but you haven't remembered that because you are so much focused on this. Another thing, also the increased consumption of alcohol, because now that you know, you find someone is gambling and then they're also sipping on the alcohol. Or even when you are stressed that the money is finishing, you don't know what to do, you are there drinking. You are filling your system with so much alcohol because you are all stressed, you don't know what to do. You just feel like that's the solution. When you drink, you feel like you might think straight. And then also the use of illegal substances. You know, you are taking drugs, the smoking. There's so many things that one can take to harm themselves. So now, how do we stop gambling addiction? You know, how can we stop this? Because obviously we have to find a solution to avoid this, because we are losing our loved ones because of this, committing suicide, cutting ties, distancing themselves because of gambling addiction. So before we conclude off on how to stop gambling addiction, we are going to go for a musical break. We'll be right back. Do stay tuned. Do not leave the frequency. We'll be right back.
Late, but you didn't wake up. My bones ache, bleeding the place up. Sometimes I wonder if you know I'm there. Sit down, take off my makeup, lay down, but you don't wake up. Sometimes I wonder if you even care. Can't remember the last time you told me I'm beautiful. And I can't remember the last time that you said anything at all. I'm a woman with a heart. I deserve your love. I'm not some girl, don't know what she wants. I'm a woman. I need to be touched. I need to be loved. Being just your woman is not enough. I hope that you don't wake up when it's too late to make up. You'll be the one that's alone, and that's so sad. In time, you'll find somebody. The truth is, she'll never be me. That's when you're gonna miss what we have. Yeah. All I really needed to hear was you're beautiful. All I really needed to hear was anything at all. I'm a woman. Woman with the heart, I deserve your love. I'm not some girl, don't know what she wants. I'm a woman, I need to be touched. I need to be loved. 'Cause being just your woman is not enough.
I'm your lady, you gotta treat me like. I'm a woman.
How to stop a gambling addiction. You know, how can we regain, how to regain control, you know? Talk about your gambling with somebody you trust who won't judge you. So think of someone that you know that you trust, and you know that this person won't judge you, and just try to speak to them as to what you are facing, you know? And also another thing, reduce the financial risk factors such as the use of credit cards, taking out loans and carrying large amounts of money. If you know that you are leaving the house, you know, take that $300 million and then you go with it and they're like, this includes my transport and whatever. So if it's done, it's done. And rather than walking with a large sum of money, you end up putting yourself in debt. Another thing, also avoid using gambling venues, you know, to socialize, and don't use gambling as an escape. So this is my last words, and that's set limits on time and money spent gambling, avoid gambling when feeling stressed or upset. You know, sometimes some people think that when you do gambling while you are stressed, it's a solution to avoid all those problems, but that's not the solution, but rather avoid all such things. Now, from me, Francina, it's a goodbye. We shall meet again next week, Saturday, same time, same place, and that's, of course, on Eagle FM, number one talk radio station. We shall meet again, and do stay tuned for Urwazi. From me, Francina, it's a goodbye. Have a lovely weekend. Take care. Be safe. And don't do something negative because of your anger.